welcome to episode 21 of The Good, The Bad, and The Beautiful. My name is Erin Clark, and I am so thankful to have you here with me today as we talk all things holidays. That's right. We are in the midst of a jam-packed holiday season. We've just passed Canadian Thanksgiving. We have Halloween, Remembrance Day, American Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's. Whew, I am sure I am missing some, but those are some of the many holidays that are celebrated this time of year. Whether you celebrate each of these holidays or not, that's not the point of today's podcast. The point is these are opportunities to love our neighbors. In a world where we lack the personal connection with our neighbors, our communities, we're often left pondering like, when God said, love your neighbor as yourself, this is the second greatest commandment, how are we supposed to do that? Like, how are we supposed to be salt and light? How are we supposed to show our literal neighbors, our community neighbors, the love of Christ? I mean, we live, if your neighborhood's anything like mine, people all park in their garages. You often don't make it past the courteous, like, how you doing head nod as you pull in the cul-de-sac or the townhouse complex, whatever it might be. God said, hey, I'm going to give you autumn. Whatever your feelings are to each of these holidays, autumn is here. Autumn is here to redeem the, well, how am I supposed to love my neighbors? What am I supposed to do? I don't know how to reach out to my neighbors. It's like, well, we have at least six opportunities to do so, to go beyond ourselves, to be selfless to our neighbors, even if we don't partake in the holiday ourselves. If they do, then it's important enough to acknowledge for them. So I believe that this season, autumn, is the greatest opportunity that we have to love our neighbor. It starts with, I'm going to run through just each of the holidays of how we can love our neighbors. And I don't believe that Jesus meant your literal neighbor. He meant those who came in contact with us. He talked about the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. It's strangers you meet on the street, whatever it might be. The people that you come in contact with, those are your neighbors. But then we do have literal neighbors that are literally given to us as gifts to be able to show them Christ's love. And we often don't take that opportunity. We went many years where we didn't know our neighbors' names. We've been very focused where we live now to just really get to know our neighbors in practical ways. We connect as neighbors. We have them over. It's really cool to see how, like, we are from completely different walks of life, and yet they're our closest contact. They're the people that are in our vicinity the most in life. And so I really see it as a great gift in order to be able to love those around us. So let's get started. Again, we're going to talk literal neighbors, but we're also going to talk beyond to our community, to those we come in contact with. So Canadian Thanksgiving, we've just passed this, but many of you are Americans that listen. Many of you are from all over the world that listen. And so these holidays may not pertain to you. So fill in the gap with whatever holiday it is for you that you celebrate in this way. Thanksgiving. In our house, Thanksgiving is the most beyond our family holiday that we celebrate as a family. We see it very much as a time to be able to invite people over that may not have a place. It's all about thankfulness, and it's a way for us to be able to provide a safe place, a happy place for people to come and just feel a part of our family, feel a part of our home. For me, it is one of my favorite holidays. One, because it's like a kickoff to this autumn season of what's to come. It's almost like a pointer of like, oh my goodness, we still have Christmas ahead. We still have all these opportunities to connect as a family together. And so Canadian Thanksgiving is super, super fun to us. Yes, it's stressful. And in my mind, I always definitely paint it with rose-colored glasses more than the reality. But this is how we do Canadian Thanksgiving. Basically, we pray about who God may open up to invite over to our house. And this stays very loose right up until pretty much the day. A family will come to mind and it'll be like, okay, I think we need to invite this family. There's usually not many connections through each single person or couples or families that come, but it always ends up being a highlight of our year, and these new connections are made from it. And so that's the beginning of it. And then the day before, we celebrate Thanksgiving. So this year, for example, we did it on a Sunday. So the Saturday becomes a day of us working together as a family to get the job done. There's many ways to do this. If you're on a budget or you feel overwhelmed, keep it as simple as possible. Get everybody to bring an item to the house. Like, don't feel like you have to carry it all yourself. Just be like, hey, I'll do the turkey if everybody else can pitch in this or that. I'm a bit of a, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe. I actually can't think of the word right now. I'm a little controlling, maybe. Yeah. I like it to be a certain way. I get nervous. Like, what if I give people the potatoes, but they're not the potatoes that I love, or whatnot. So I take on the majority of it, and we make it a family affair. This year, however, I was away leading up to it and realized, okay, I can't pull everything off. And so I delegated the desserts to the people coming. It was a stretch for me. I'm not going to lie. It was a stretch. And I'm like, Mark, I don't know how to do this. Like, I just really want homemade desserts. And he's like, so ask them to bring homemade desserts. I'm like, that's so rude though. He's like, yeah, but if that's what you want, just say it. And so I actually did. And I said it in a really sweet way. Like, if you don't mind, are you a baker? If you don't mind baking something, that would be awesome. And it did alleviate some of the pressure from it. So we wake up the day before Thanksgiving. I got aprons for each of our family to wear for this occasion. We wake up and I made pumpkin lattes, and then we had pumpkin French toast together as a family, which 3 out of 5 of us eat because the other 2 don't like French toast or anything pumpkin. But we all sit down together and we just enjoy a breakfast with just our family. And then the work begins. We do all the fixings, all the preparations. We set up the tables, and I'm a big advocate of not having like my teens, the kids separated. Now, sometimes, like, I grew up, we'd go to my aunt's and they lived in this tiny little wartime home. We had to be in separate rooms. Like, there was no being any different than that. So utilize your space. Obviously, everything I say is not prescriptive. It's to be used with where you're at. But I really just like the energy of having everybody in one space. And so in order to do that, we move couches out. We move, everything goes out of order so that we can have tables all in one room. So this year we had 30 crammed in for dinner. We brought in a little mini picnic table for the little littles, but they were still in the same room. And it was so fun just setting up. I love doing that with my kids because it's teaching them life skills, but in a really fun, connective way. And it goes as like one of the highlights of my kids' year as well, as far as holiday goes. And it's going beyond themselves, which is really what Thanksgiving to me is all about. It's beyond ourselves. It's making you be thankful, thinking about something else other than your own needs. And when the day comes, Oh my gosh, it is such a blast. And we're connecting with people that, again, we don't even know half the time. This year we had some university students that had nowhere to go. We had a new family that's just moved here that I met on Instagram from another province, and they joined us. We had some staff join us, some single people, married people. We had families, and it was great. We all connected in a different way. We wouldn't have naturally all come together, and it gave us that cool opportunity. And so at the end of the day, we don't get people to clean up. We just enjoy one another's connection. And then for the next 4 days, we do a little cleanup follow-up. But again, it's super fun and a great, great kickoff. The next holiday... The controversial holiday that everybody wants an opinion on, and many people don't like my opinion on it. And that's cool. You do you. This works for us and our family. Halloween. Good old Halloween. Yes, I know the origin. Yes, I know all the details, the possibilities of what Halloween has been, what it could be. I get it. I grew up in a home that we did not go out for Halloween, and I respect that. I respect my parents' decisions on that. As a person, though, that loves dressing up, like loves the adventure of all of that, loves meeting people, I never understood why we would turn out all the lights in our house and hide out in the basement. My parents would sometimes, we'd go out on an adventure, we'd go out for dinner or whatnot, but ultimately our house was off limits. Cool, that was their decision. I respect it. But as I kept growing, I was like, wait a minute, this is the only opportunity in a year that neighbors are actually going to come to my door. It's the only opportunity that I'm able to walk around the neighborhood with my kids and go door to door and be like, hey, yeah, I just live down the way. It's so cool to meet you. I'm able to I also love designing and all the home stuff. And so I love peeking in and seeing how people live in my neighborhood as well. So curiosity wins out for me. I just really see it as a cool opportunity. Now, it's an opportunity, of course, for conversations. We've had to have many conversations with our kids over the years. Not everybody treats Halloween the same. There's a lot of houses, a lot of evil out there, scariness. A lot of prayer has to go into the evening. Without a doubt, my kids are, when they were younger, were overwhelmed. Halloween evenings, they'd have nightmares, possibly because of the sugar overload. They're overtired, but also there's a lot of visual to see. And so we're not numb to that. But we avoid the houses that we can. We try to keep it really light. In our house, we don't decorate with the scary stuff. We have Mr. Bones, who's a skeleton. That's the extent of it. I'll let you in on a secret. I have a skeleton as well. I have bones under my body. So he's not scary. Mr. Bones is a very happy, happy person, and holds a pumpkin in his hand and a wreath. So it's a very joy-filled house. We have a spider as well. But again, my house is filled with spiders. So there's that. I just really see it as a cool opportunity to love our immediate neighbors. And so one way that we do that is I collect fun plates and fun napkins, and I throw out to all my neighbors, hey, you know, I know Halloween is a super busy night. You get the kids home from school. You're trying to change them into their costumes, get out. There's no commitment to trick or treat with us, but I'll have dinner ready. So if you want to pop by and grab dinner for your family, please. We would love to have you. And it's usually like hot dogs or chili, something super basic. I might even do it on the driveway so that people can just eat as they go. They don't feel like it's this huge commitment. And I just think it's it's really cool way to connect, and in such a joyous way. The kids are excited because they're all dressed up. There's just this excitement in the air, and we get to meet neighbors that we normally wouldn't meet. And so obviously you can take it both ways. You could just kind of go through the motions, grab the candy, or you can be like, hey, how are you? I just live down the way. It's so nice to meet you. Either way, Halloween is a really cool opportunity. Remembrance Day. This is a great holiday to actually think about those, or Veterans Day, Remembrance Day. Think about those who have fought on our behalf and actually spend time with people in that regard. Honor them. Maybe take them flowers, take them a coffee and just say, hey, like, thank you. It's a really neat opportunity to spend time with forgotten elderly that we often don't think about from day to day. Obviously, with COVID, this may take a little more work to be able to connect with somebody. But at the very least, make this a time where your family honors and talks about it, and we really have an understanding so our kids don't grow up void of understanding the actual sacrifice that has happened in the past, but is also still happening in the present, all over the world. And so, Remembrance Day is a great holiday for that. Hanukkah. I am not Jewish. I don't celebrate Hanukkah, but we've lived in a place before where my next door neighbors were, and they celebrated it. And it was a great opportunity I didn't take them a Christmas gift. I took them a gift and said, Happy Hanukkah. They knew where I stand. I know where they stand. And it was a cool way to come together and just be like, hey, I see you. I value who you are. And I love you for who you are. And then we have Christmas. Christmas is such a joy. It's like, you know that feeling in your house? So I'm going to digress a little bit beyond just how we love our neighbors for Christmas, but Christmas is this opportunity, like right when you set up your decor, this peace just comes over your house. I feel it, and I'll talk about in a future podcast more about how we can make Christmas special and unique in those times. Today, we will stick with how we can love our neighbors for Christmas. I can digress really quick. And so I'll save that for its own closer to Christmas. We have a lot of fun in our house. We have a lot of intentional traditions and moments that we carry on as a family. But the way that we love our neighbor is we get gifts for each of our neighbors in our area. It doesn't have to be big. It could be baking. It could be a candle. Last year, I got like a spray from Sage. It's not a big thing. But we write it with a card that tells them, like, reminds them who we are, reminds them, hey, we're here. I always, again, include my phone number every time of, if you ever need anything, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Like, have a Merry Christmas. We're so thankful. You can include, like, we have Christmas Eve services at our church. And so we'll usually include, like, hey, if you don't have anything going on, we would love to have you join us. Give them the pamphlets, the flyers for what's happening. It's not just a random, like, hey, I'm going to throw a track into your trick-or-treat bag, or I'm going to just give you this. I'm actually building a relationship with you. I'm showing you that I'm consistent, that I show up for each of the things, whether they're about me or they just pertain to you. I'm here and I'm on this journey with you. I care about you as a neighbor. New Year's Eve runs into Christmas. It's another opportunity, but maybe you know that your neighbors are partiers. I don't know. And you could be like, hey, just to let you know, I'm offering rides on New Year's Eve. I don't know what it might be for you. I'm just thinking of things on the spot now. But try to think like who your neighbors are, where they're at. And this doesn't just go for holidays either. It's awkward sometimes as well, but anytime a new neighbor moves into our vicinity, if I can see their house from our house, we're there. We're there with a gift, we're there with a meal, we're there with a card with our info of, hey, we're here for you. We want to do this community thing with you. If there's a baby born, whatever it might be, it's trying to show like, hey, you're not alone in this world. And maybe at some point they're going to need to reach out and they'll remember like, okay, this person was consistent in my life. So of course, we don't get it right every time. But, and again, as I said before, like we went years where we did not know our neighbors' names at all. It's only been in the last few years, and maybe that's because of the age of my kids. I don't know, but I've tried to really be more consistent with going like, okay, who are the people beyond my doors? We can't reach out to everybody. We can't be all things to all people, but we can do our immediate neighbors. We could pick somebody in our community or someone that, it's not natural necessarily to reach out and to just love on and just show them Christ's love, show them God's love so that when the opportunity does come, when they reach a hard patch in life and maybe there's a death, whatever it might be, you're there and you've actually given of yourself leading up to it. So then they're able to see like, wow, there is something different about this person. And when these hard times hit or whatever it might be, that you're then able to be like, hey, this is where I get my strength from. This is who Jesus Christ is. This is who I used to be, who I am now, whatever it might be. We have to be building these relationships. And the best way is with love. Don't wait on your neighbors to love on you first. Don't wait for them. We've had awkward times. We had a neighbor once who was on house arrest, living beside us for murder. They were on house arrest right next to us. We knew this. And it was like, do I take that family? Do I go over there and take them the Christmas present? Because this just feels like I should just be avoiding. And it was like, no, obviously I'm not going to knock on the door. But when I saw the mom come outside, I went over. And I gave it to her and we were able to talk a little bit and talk through some stuff and we're able to give her a hug and have like this human connection. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be reaching out even when it's awkward, even when it's uncomfortable, even then you know that they will never reach out back, that their dog will still continue to annoy you or whatever it might be. Let's be salt and light to those around us and take the first step. Thank you for joining me today. And I'd love to hear how you show your neighbors love, how you show your community love and beyond. So thank you for joining me today. As always, thank you so much for joining me today. I just wanted to bring to light a fun contest that I'm running over on Instagram starting October 29th and running all the way to November 7th. In honor of my 40th birthday. I'm super pumped about it. And I thought, what a great way to pull together how to love our neighbor with my big birthday. I would rather be blessing other people than having the attention on me, but I'll take a little bit of that too. So head on over there, join the contest for some really cool prizes, erin.e.clark. Thank you and have a fabulous day.